Good afternoon, everybody. Hoe gaan het met jullie? Ik heb gehoord iemand zeggen: goeiemiddag. So ik kan maar Afrikaans praten, maar ik ga net niet preken in Afrikaans. Dit zal. Ik zal een beetje te veel ratbraak, als jullie weten wat ratbraak betekent. It's a wonderful. Beslis. I'm old school as well. And I use pegs to hold it down. Because I was worried about wind, you know, coming, blowing over. But today's going to be, I'm going to start off with a bit of a history lesson. So those of you that know your Bible well, particularly the Old Testament, will be familiar with what I'm about to tell you. But I'm about to tell you the story of the Israelites who left Egypt. Everybody knows they left Egypt. God had a promised land for them, right? Everybody know that? Is everybody awake? Everybody hear what I'm saying? So they were leaving Egypt, and they were going to cross over into the promised land. But they got stuck. So there was one miracle along the way. The Lord parted the Red Sea for them, and they went through the Red Sea, yes? And then they wandered around in the desert for how long? 40 years. And then they culminated in reaching the Jordan River. And it's there that Moses gave up his last breath, and the Lord then anointed Joshua to take over and march them into the promised land. Right, we got that. So at that time of the year, it's all in Joshua 4, at that time of the year, the snow on the mountains in that area was melting. It is said, and you can go check it out, I watched a video and I read some stuff on Wikipedia about it. At that time of the year, the river would have been flowing at around about 64 to 70 kilometers per hour. So even me, who's a strong swimmer and an ex-lifesaver, would not be able to swim in that. It was about 1.6 kilometers wide and about 2 meters deep. Okay, so that's a serious river. And the Lord then said to the Levites, who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, get everybody ready. Joshua, get everybody ready, but the Levites must step into the water with the Ark of the Covenant. The minute they put a foot into that river, the water will stop flowing and I'll back it up. Miracle number two. Okay, but this was all under Joshua's leadership. So this is where we are now. We're at the crossing of the Jordan, and so now they're at the foot of this river. They cross over, and I want to read Joshua 4, 6 to 7 with you. It states, so what they had to do was that once they were on the other side of the river, the Levites were commanded to go back into the middle of the river where they'd come from. Go back to where you came from and bring out 12, they call it stones. I can imagine they were probably these round boulders you see, right? Bring out 12 of those, representing the tribes of Israel, and make a pile of them. Right, so we read here, the stones were to serve as a sign among you. Listen carefully now. In the future, right, in the future, when your children ask, what do these stones mean? What do they mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Guess what we are called in 1 Peter 2, verse 5? You also, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So when your children ask what you are, and when you set an example to your children, you are now a living stone of Christ's miracle. Christ's miracle in you, that he has saved you, that he has anointed you for other things. So what happened to Joshua is he was now exalted in the eyes of Israel, and the people realized that God was working through him, and so they had reverence for him as their leader. So now they're on the other side of the Jordan. They've set up camp. All's good and well. I can picture them like a vierkie, goeie choppie daar, gaan aan and wait for the next thing. But then a shocking thing happened in chapter 5. Everybody know what this is? This is a knife. Anybody guess what happened in chapter 5 to start with? Anna. Chapter 5, verses 2 to 8 says the following. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeath Haraloth. Aina. Now this is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the desert on the way after leaving Egypt. All the people that came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the desert during the journey from Egypt had not. So put it in simple words, as Andrew would say, in other words, they've left Egypt with kids, some without kids, and they were told, because of your stubbornness and your hard hearts, I am not giving you the promised land, but your children will. And prior to leaving Egypt, all the boys had been circumcised. But in the desert on their lovely journey of 40 days, that should have taken about 11 days, they say, they didn't get the opportunity to circumcise their kids. Sterile reasons, etc., I would think. I'm not too sure why. But they go and circumcise them. So, this was to renew the covenant God made with their father Abraham, and it was a sign of belonging fully to God. So keep all this in mind, because it relates to the New Testament, and that's the history lesson over. So now my timer can start. No, that's how we steal time. But then, this is when I was reading this, I came to Joshua 5 and verse 9, and it says the following. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. So I read that. In fact, I read fast over it. And then I was like, something struck me. What does the reproach of Egypt mean? What does it mean to say that I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you? Good question, right? I'm going to answer that right now. Patience, brother. So what? So what was rolled away, and why was it rolled away? So if you're taking notes, the title is, what is your reproach? The English word for reproach can be summed up like something. It's like beyond reproach or above reproach. You might have heard it if you speak a lot of English. It means blameless or perfect or impossible or to criticize, reproach. An example of this is, and we all understand this, being in South Africa, public servants and political figures must be beyond reproach. In other words, they must be blameless. Yeah? So that's what reproach means. Or there can be a reproach towards something. So you can say, for instance, those of you that play rugby players that fight on the field are a reproach to the sport. In other words, they should not be fighting on the field if you're into rugby. I agree with it wholeheartedly, but sometimes you've got to get in there. So, the Lord says to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. In other words, slavery has been rolled away from you. Hardship and not being able to own property has been rolled away from you. The influence of their false gods has been rolled away from you. Stigma and the fact that you were wandering in a desert for 40 years when it should have taken 11 days, that is rolled away from you. Yeah? You guys get that? And then my note says, go back to the previous page. So what God in essence is doing, and if you can link it to the New Testament cleverly now in your minds, is the Egyptians have come out, they've literally repented before the Lord in that they've circumcised themselves. And God has then said, that's good and well with you, I'm rolling away what you've done. Yes? So now I can go back to the other one. So for us, sitting here, what could reproach be in our lives? It could be shame. It could be regret. It could be past sin. It could be things that we wish nobody knew about. Many things today, right here, as we're sitting here, some people might quietly be carrying mistakes, addictions, broken relationships, things you may or still are ashamed of. For me, you all heard last week, I think it was, sometime back, that I used to be in South African Airways as a steward. I joke about it and I say I was a coffee morphy. But I did a lot of things in those 10 years at SAA that today I regret. And when I start talking about it, when I tell people what I'm born out of, the thing I need to watch carefully is I don't talk too much about what I've come from, but rather what I've come into, what Christ has rescued me from and into Him. So that past, He rolled away. And note I didn't go into what I did. Just like Israel carried Egypt as the monkey on their back and in their hearts, even after leaving physically, you too might be carrying a reproach or two. So in chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, at the end of that verse, it says, so the place has been called Gilgal to this day. Now, I'm led to believe that if you speak Hebrew and you say that word Gilgal, it sounds like a rock moving. So obviously, it's very guttural, all right? It's probably like a chol-chol, something along those lines. But the word Gilgal means rolled away. In other words, think about what was rolled away from them. I'm going to repeat it again. The shame of slavery, the identity tied to Egypt, the wilderness wandering around in a place of disobedience. And then it struck me. While reading that, the rolling away of the stone struck me. Because in Gilgal, the reproach of Egypt was rolled away. But let's jump forward to the New Testament. At the tomb where Jesus was buried on a Sunday. Makes me happy to know that that stone was rolled away by God as proof that Jesus had risen. Not to say that I rolled the stone away to let him out. No, he was gone already. It was rolled away as proof that Jesus rose. In Luke 24, verse 1 to 2 is where it says it. Luke 24, 1 to, day, or 1 to 2 says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone, say it, rolled away from the tomb. So through Jesus Christ, God says to you and I, your past is no longer covering you. I have rolled it away. Stop looking back at your Egypt. Many believers are forgiven, are saved, but they still live in shame. They keep saying, but you know what I've done. I'm still that person. But in Philippians, Paul, in Philippians 3, Paul's talking about having no confidence in the flesh, right? I don't want to take it out of context. I want to know that he's saying, I'm having no confidence in the flesh. But in Philippians 3, 13 to 14, he says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Paul himself, forgetting what was behind him, but straining ahead for Christ. Those are words that we should be confessing over our own lives. Those are words we should be repeating to ourselves in prayer. Striving ahead for Christ, forgetting what's behind. On Friday I was speaking in the close of business at work. We have this thing on Fridays. Our boss, who's in the UK, talks to us, and our team hasn't done. We didn't make our quarter. We shoot for 1.2 million, and we were short by 200,000. And the boss in the UK, he wasn't upset about it. He said a wise word though. Which I don't think he realized what he said, but he said, if you look to the sun, the shadow will always be behind you. But if you change that sun to S-O-N, your past will always be behind you if you look at the sun. When I was in SAA, again, I'm going to tell you what happened. I left SAA, quick story, I took him to court, I won the battle, but in my immaturity, I didn't know that if you win the battle in court, then you strike off the employee records, you're not an employee anymore. I was like, whoa, I'm not going to fly anymore, I'm not going to see the world anymore for free, I'm not going to do what I'm used to doing. Suddenly, I got money in my pocket and SAA went, cheers, which is okay, but it wasn't okay. Because I went into dark depression. I didn't know what to do with myself. My whole identity had been ripped from me. I was on an MBA course through Henley University to do an airline MBA, and all that was ripped out from underneath me. And the depression hit me badly. I didn't work for, it was about 6 months. I was on antidepressant pills, and it was a terrible time in my life. I was young still. Well, I'm still young now at 61. Still young. But it hit me hard. And eventually some friends picked me up and told me, why don't you go into sales? And anyway, I went and did that. But these are the things we carry with us, the past that we carry with us. And the biggest mistake I made is I wasn't sharing with the people I love. I had it all to myself. I didn't know God, so I couldn't share it with God. So here's some advice. You get into that position in life, share it with somebody. That's why we're so strong on accountability. Because accountability is about you and you getting closer to the Lord and you getting free of all this stuff. So here's my question to you. If God has rolled it away, why are you still rolling it back? We get into that habit of saying, like I was like that, and you remind yourself of it. You should rather be saying, I am what I am now. The truth is, even after salvation, and even after years with God, shame can still whisper. Friends remind us, situations remind us, and those whispers keep coming back. But it's then that we stand on the rock and we say, no, I am now free. free of all of that. I'm free of the shame. I'm free of whatever it is. Romans 8 and verse 1 says the following. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation is a word that means blame. There's no more blame in us. There's no, daar's nie meer fout in ons. Die Here het dit kom wegvat. There's no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, it's not less condemnation. It's not reduced condemnation. It's no condemnation. Gilgal was not a moment where it was rolled away. Gilgal became a very crucial place for the Israelites. They returned there often. They returned for worship to Gilgal. They returned there for strategic military meetings, for national covenant renewal, and later for prophetic activities. In other words, spiritual. So we, and you who have a monkey on your back perhaps, an Egypt on your back, an Egypt that keeps reminding you, you must come back to these personal statements. God has dealt with my past. I'm not the man or woman anymore. I'm not that man or woman anymore. In the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come.
Amen.
If you are saved, sitting here now, and you still live under reproach, if you've left Egypt, but Egypt hasn't left you, today I think God is saying to you, I've rolled it away. Stop carrying what I've removed. John 1 verse 19 says, John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us. And then it says, and purify us from all unrighteousness. At Gilgal, God rolled away the past. At the cross, Jesus rolled away yours and mine. Don't go back and pick up what God has already buried. Amen? I would like to pray for us. Father, now this is your sheep, God, and you've asked us to, if we love them, that we feed them, King. We're feeding or teaching them now, God, that you've come and done the work. You did the work, Jesus. You did the work on the cross. We don't need to go back. We don't need to look back. We need to be looking to the Son. We need to be looking to your Son. We need to be looking to you, Jesus. Because you paid the price. You paid the ultimate price for us. That sin was rolled away, King. I think the word that Jan brought was quite apt. It was Romans 8. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. I know sitting here, standing here and looking at everybody sitting, I know there are people that still have past hurts, past things that you may be hanging on to. So can we close our eyes, please? Everybody just close your eyes. If that is you, if you have past hurt and past sin that is troubling you, won't you raise your hands? Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Here's the next question. If you're sitting in this room and that stone has never been rolled away, if you're still sitting in your own tomb, if you're still sitting in sin, which we know God hates, then now's the opportunity for the Lord to roll that stone away, to be your Gilgal, to where you can repent, where you can find freedom in Christ. If that's you, I would really love to pray with you. Is there anybody that is still in their tomb that needs to come to the Lord, that needs an outstretched hand from God? Father, for those people that raised their hands for release of their past king, I pray now, those few hands that were risen, Lord, I pray, King, that you would come and remind them of your word, Lord, that you set them free, King. When they called on your name, Lord, they were set free. Remind them, Father. Remind them when they wake in the morning to seek you, to seek your face, Father. Remind them at night when they're lying on their beds and things run through their minds. Remind them now, Lord. Remind them in that place, God, that you set them free, that you are their salvation.